I've been waiting to talk to Michael Irvin all gosh darn day. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show, and welcome to the Playmaker, the Hall of Famer from NFL Network, and his team is moving on to Los Angeles. I do know that. Michael, should I even bother asking what your favorite game was this weekend? Do I even have to ask you?
Well, yeah, you can, because it was, you know, that was my most nerve-wracking game. Was certainly the Cowboys game, because no matter what, you know, I watched that game and said, wow, the Cowboys win the game. Win the game. It seemed like they gave Seattle every opportunity to come back and have that game and win that game. But in the end, they did win the game, so it worked out. When I left that, well, I was at my room watching it because I have to watch it by myself, and I needed to watch it by myself to make sure I'm not in some element where I'm screaming and lose my voice again. So I was peacefully watching it by myself, and as I finished watching it, I felt more. I was more expecting than excited. I mean, you know, because I'm looking forward to what can be than exciting about that game they won, and they won against the Seahawks.
You know, one of the things we've been talking about today is how the two biggest, baddest defenses left in the dance got knocked out during wild card weekend. Goodbye, Baltimore. Goodbye, Chicago. But there is still one really good defense in this playoffs, and you could say the Rams are a good defense. But right now, this Dallas defense, they just got off the field on third down against Russell Wilson. They held Seattle under 300 yards. The running game was clicking with the Cowboys and Zeke getting his magic 20 carries, 100 yards, whatever the magic number is to equal automatically win. Like, a lot is going right for the Cowboys, and they survived a Dak Prescott turnover.
Right. And listen, the Dak Prescott turnover and a Russell Wilson at quarterback. Russell Wilson never lost a playoff game. You know, of course, lost in the Super Bowl. But, you know, Russell Wilson doesn't lose playoff games. He's an incredible and incredible player, and he never makes mistakes. And I talked about this on our show last week. I said, you know, I put the onus on the defensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. They have to shut down the running game, because if they can run the ball and Russell Wilson does what he does, this is a hard team to beat. But if you shut down the running game and Russell Wilson does what he does, you will have a chance to beat them. You know, because you can't stop Russell Wilson. He just, the element of stopping him with all that he does and the way he scrambles and still find and make plays up the field. And I'll tell you this, the throws he made, those were perfect throws. That throw to on the sideline to Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
I mean, it was perfect. He was covered perfectly. It's the only place you could throw that ball, and he made that throw. He's just an incredible player.
The Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, here on 95.7 The Game. And so now the Cowboys are heading to L.A., and let's be totally honest. This is the game the NFL's wanted for about 25 years now. It's the ratings I think that they've dreamed of. It might as well be called the Jerry Jones Bowl, because he's responsible, obviously, for the Dallas Cowboys, and he might be as responsible as anybody for the NFL being back in Los Angeles. It feels like we got the biggest brand in football in the biggest setting in football besides New York City. Like, this is everything the NFL's wanted over the last two decades. A Cowboy playoff game in Los Angeles.
Right.
Jerry Jones, your wish has come true.
This is exactly it. This is you hit the nail on the head in the way they have it done. And I know Jerry and Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, are very, very tight. Very tight. I've sat with them on a number of occasions to talk to them both about their great friendship and how badly I know he wanted to have those Rams back in L.A. So this is a huge, huge, huge game for the NFL, and I'm sure ratings will be off the charts on this. Now, personally, I thought, and I spoke about this, the path to how you get to the Super Bowl is critical. And for me, I really wanted Dallas to actually go see New Orleans again, because I was torn between this, D. You beat New Orleans already one time, but now you have to play them in New Orleans, which is it's going to be as hard a thing as you've ever done in right. your life. Or do you go out and play the Rams where I worry about the Rams because of the number of weapons they have, the number of weapons they have, and the number of ways they attack you. Now, I'm less worried because Cooper Kupp is not playing. with Cooper Kupp, I think this is a knockout win no matter what for the Rams. And I'm concerned about how healthy really is Todd Gurley. How healthy is Todd Gurley? And then I thought about it. I said, well, maybe this is the time for the Cowboys to go and try to win that football game against the Rams with this situation. Everybody coming, they're coming off all week off. We don't know how healthy Gurley is, and certainly Kupp won't make that game. Maybe this is the week. And the Rams have had tough, difficult times with teams that can play great defense, and like the Bears or the Eagles and teams like that. So maybe this is a good shot for him.
There you go. He's talking himself into a Cowboy victory. I like it already. Michael
Irvin. Yeah, I got to work on this one, buddy.
Yeah,
because this is exactly the route I didn't want them to take. I didn't want them to see the Rams so early, but maybe it'll work out.
Not only with being a great wide receiver, you're also a great broadcaster. You'll find your talking points before the weekend. I know it, Michael. So, look, in Chicago, obviously the talking points are all about pain today. Parkey, the double doink, missed field goal, off the upright, off the crossbar. That's going to sting for a really long time. So will this fact. Chicago was +2 in turnovers against the Eagles, and home teams that were +2 in the playoffs over the last 40 years were 112-4. You can now make that 112-5.
Wow. Say that stat again.
Teams +2 in the turnover margin in the playoffs.
At home.
At home.
You mean home teams?
40 years. 112-4. Now it's 112-5.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. As incredible as that kicker dunking. Dude, listen. He had one game this year where he dunked 4 times.
I know.
Now, the rest of my career, I shouldn't have a doink. The rest of my career, what are the odds of that? What are the odds of that you did that this year, you hit it 4 times, and then you come back when it's the most important kick of your life?
Well, what's the old cliche? You play like you practice? Well, here's a new one for you. Sometimes you play like you play. And, I mean, this guy's been doing it all year. When it mattered the most, I thought the first kick that went through before the timeout.
When they iced him.
Michael, I thought there was so little confidence and conviction in that kick. It looked like an excuse-me C-plus knuckleballer that just happened to make it. And then when he got frozen, I turned to my wife. I'm sitting on the couch. I said, he is going to miss this. And
it's over.
God, man.
It's over. You saw when Coach called timeout and it froze him. As soon as he noticed, they put the camera back on the kicker and he dropped his head. And that's when I said, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to tell you something. I promise you. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. The body language said something to me. And it said, I don't have confidence in this next kick. I just made it, man. Let's get out of it. And the pressure mounted. And oh God, when you saw that thing go up. And at the time, I didn't know it had been tipped. But when you saw it go up, I said, oh, my God, I cannot believe that it's happened again. And you just feel so bad for all of those guys because that moment is defining. That's it. There is no, we get them again next week. There is no, hey, just get the next kick. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, buddy. Y'all go get your bags, whatever your vacation plans were. You're starting them right now. That's it. That's just incredible. Incredible.
Michael, explain to me what Nick Foles does for the Eagles to turn them into a different football team.
I think this is interesting here because I didn't see this different football game in weeks 1 and 2 with Nick Foles was playing quarterback for this football team.
Right. It looked like, oh, man, at least they're going to get Wentz back and they'll be okay.
Right, and that's what you were doing with Nick Foles in week 1 and 2, saying, wait a minute, oh, look like the slipper has fallen off Cinderella. It's time to get him back here. It's time to get Carson Wentz back. And then now this comes in, and I do believe this. I believe, you know, because when you win Super Bowls, it's hard to come back and tie back up and go in with the same intensity as the guys you're playing against who hasn't won any, and you would just sat down at the king's table and was awarded and earned the ring, you know. So you got satisfaction within your bones, and these guys got they got desperation in their bones. So matching that intensity sometimes is tough. But I always remember this, the years that we won back-to-back and everything, when we got late in the season, because it was hard getting through the first 12 games. It was just difficult. But when you got late in the season, that last month, Coach Johnson would always say, listen, we're here now. We're here. And this last month, going into this playoffs, we should be able to hang by our hoom-hoom-hooms. That's right. Whatever we got to do to win, because it's right around the corner now. And I think they got some of that. And it just happened to tie in exactly with Nick Foles coming back on the field. So mentally they said, oh, we got what we need now. We got what we need. Let's move forward. And nobody believes in us. That's what got them through last time. Nobody believes in us. And now this year, when everybody was having them favored, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. But when they lost it, they thought they were out. They get Nick Foles back. Nobody believed. You can put that underdog stuff on now and go back on the road. He does that for them. And he does give them opportunities up the field that the Carson Wentz, I don't believe, gave them as many opportunities. He throws more of a 50-50 ball. But Carson Wentz is building a career. He's not going to throw that ball up there 50-50 because everything he does is going to be measured for the future. Nick Foles is like, hey, I only got a few more years. Let's let this thing go. Who cares? Just let it go. And it has worked. It has worked. So maybe Carson Wentz can take some of this from Nick Foles, that you just got to let it go sometime and trust in other guys.
And let her rip football. Sometimes it works. We got the Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, here on the Damon Bruce Show. So I don't know what surprises me more, that the Colts went on the road with Luck only throwing for 222, or that Rivers wins on the road throwing for just $160 with no touchdowns. Man, those games were unbelievable. Marlon Mack, let's start there with the Colts. If the Colts are going to have a kid who can go for 100, 125, 150 yards, they're going to win another game before they go home.
Right, and I said this when they played Dallas, because I watched Marlon Mack as a dude is running. That offensive line is serious. They were manhandling Houston. I mean, manhandling. I texted and tweeted out. I was like, man, this offensive line is manhandling J.J. Watt and his boys like they lightweight and sorry. I mean, it was just driving them up and down the field.
When's the last time you think Jadeveon Clowney felt like, man, I don't belong out here?
Right, right. And that's exactly what they what it must have felt like, because it was a mush and a move. They got together, they mushed, and they moved. I'm so looking forward to this game between Indy and Kansas City. And I believe Indy has a great chance at winning this football game against Kansas City with what you're seeing. And this is interesting, though, D, because I always say it, and I know I've said it here before, I always say new levels brings new devils. And when you take this next step, you know, to the playoffs, that means new devils mean new challenges. It's going to bring new things that you got to overcome and deal with. And you watch the guys, you know, the Lamar Jackson, the Deshaun Watsons. These guys hit this new level, and they were not. And they didn't put their best game on this new level. The new devil got the best of them. Now it's Pat Mahomes' time, and if he didn't start fast. If he doesn't start fast like they start, and Andrew Luck gets up there and start fast like they started last week, and like they started against Houston and put up 21 quick points, it could be a whole different thing, man. I'm telling you, this is going to be a great game Saturday.
I know that Lamar Jackson saved his stat line in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't good enough to save the Ravens. Did you think that John Harbaugh made a mistake to not go to Flacco at halftime?
They still had a chance to win that game, late in the game, when he came back and made those plays. Threw the touchdown to Crabtree and everything, and they were down 7. And, of course, you know, by the time he got the ball back, they only had a few seconds, and then they got the strip fumble. So you lose that game still by one score. By one score. I myself personally, I thought that maybe he was going to Flacco. But now, watching the game, the thing that irked the hell out of me, and I even tweeted about it, it irked the hell out of me to hear those Raven fans booing at the start of the fourth quarter. Booing. I'm like, are you joking? You know, so if you were thinking like we were thinking as fans, that maybe we should put in Flacco, then say Flacco, give me a Flacco yell. Flacco, Flacco, Flacco. You know, but don't boo this kid, Lamar Jackson, who got you here, because you were not coming here with Flacco when he was the quarterback. This kid put you on a 6-1 run to get you in the playoffs, and you're booing him in this game at the start of the fourth quarter. That blew my mind, man. I thought that was totally, totally out of line. And this is going to be your guy moving forward because Flacco's not coming back next year. I thought that was out of line.
I did, too. I really did, too. That kid is your future, and it's his first taste. How are you going to be that rough? I guess Baltimore is unforgiving.
You got you there. You were not going to the playoffs. It was over. He just wanted you to do division. I don't care what he, you know what I mean? I'm going to give him a little leeway here. The fact that he's young and the fact that he's earned that leeway by getting us here. Well, we were not even supposed to be here. That blew my mind.
Let's talk about a playmaker with the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin. Reports over the weekend from Chris Mortensen saying that the Steelers are expected to trade Antonio Brown before the new league year starts in March. Michael, if you're John Lynch, would you trade the number two pick in the draft to Pittsburgh for Antonio Brown?
Immediately. Immediately. Let me say it again. Immediately. Antonio Brown. Are we hearing this right? My body shivers and shakes the thought of Antonio Brown with Kyle Shanahan. Antonio Brown is not a problem. He's not a problem. He's never been a problem. Let me tell you what's going on in Pittsburgh. He's never been a problem. But he's seeing what's going on in Pittsburgh, just like everybody else is seeing what's going on. And one of the things that all of this report that tripped me out, that just blows my mind. Now, that being said, I don't agree with Antonio not showing up that Saturday. That was totally out of line. Totally out of line. You can never leave your guys in that situation. But it tells me how big the rift is between him and Ben Roethlisberger. But Antonio Brown, up to this point, has never been an issue. Ben Roethlisberger has gone about a systematical way of getting certain people out of Pittsburgh. He did it with Todd Haley. And I said at the beginning of the year, I don't wonder how this is going to come back on Antonio Brown, because Todd Haley is the kind of guy that knows how to keep those type receivers happy and full. You know, I know Todd. I've talked to Todd about this plenty times. And Mike, I know when I got me a boss receiver, I got to feed him early, keep him happy, and then all that energy I can use for my good. Kyle Shanahan understands that. I got a boss receiver. Let me feed him early. I'm going to keep him happy, because then all the energy he has and all of that intensity, that's all good and is used for good. I don't want it to go on the other side. But through all of this, what we've been hearing is he threw the ball at Ben Roethlisberger. Like, I said, are we serious? You know how many squabbles we have in practice? And the intensity and practice. When people around here say, well, he threw the ball at Ben Roethlisberger, like Ben's above everybody. And there's the problem that's going on in Pittsburgh right now. That's the problem. Ben Roethlisberger is above everybody, and you'll never win that way. You'll never win telling people, come on, get behind me. You got to win telling people, hey, come on, I'm with you. We're all together going at something. You'll never win saying, come on, get behind me, as if everybody is behind me and everybody is not with me. That's the issue going on in Pittsburgh.
Look, I think that the 49ers absolutely need a better – They need a better pass rush. Number two could provide that. But look, Antonio Brown, Jimmy Garoppolo, Breida, you've got Kittle, you've got Marquise Goodwin. Like, you're kind of like, you're like the Kansas City Chiefs light,
right,
if you were able
right.
to make that move.
And let me get you now. I'm telling you, D, I said this. This is what makes Indy, I think, very tough, too. The most difficult thing to stop on a football field is the combination of a great tight end and a great wide receiver. The most difficult thing is that it's better than having two great wide receivers. A combination of a good, great tight end and a great wide receiver, you're almost unstoppable. You're almost, because I can do so many things with it. Two great wide receivers, when you split them up one side and the other, I can shell coverage that with a cover two, bring both corners up, press both receivers and give them fits off the line of scrimmage and have safeties playing halves, really watching the wide receivers. But when I get a great tight end and a great receiver, I just love that my voice is back, man. I'm talking strong again. I just love it. I can go anywhere with this voice now. It's back. But anyway, when I get a great tight end and a great wide receiver, and I put them on the same side, and you try to share that side by pressing the wide receiver, that means you're going to have to put a linebacker on my tight end. And if you try to bring a guy over, oh, my God, it's the most difficult combination to stop. I had my best year, not with Alvin Harper or the other great receiver on the side, but I had my best year where I averaged over 100 yards a game in 11 100-yard games when it was me and Jay Novacek. We were unstoppable. You make that trade, and if they have to, you send whatever else you got. I'm telling you, make that trade, and you get Antonio Brown.
Michael Irvin just going full reverend playmaker on us. I love it. The voice is strong. The interview is always strong. You give us an awful lot to think about and talk about. Michael, thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you next week. We'll see if your Cowboys can take one more step.
Yep, one more step, buddy. All right, man. Thanks, buddy.